God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Let me see your Bibles tonight. Lift them up. Shake them around. God, this word is you. Your word and yourself can never be separated. You are the word of God, the eternal word of God. And that, Lord, this word is life. It's your heart, your thoughts, your mind, your wisdom, your truth, your power, your covenant promises to us. Put them in our heads, put them in our hearts. Tonight, Holy Spirit, let this word be alive in our spirits. As you minister to us, fill our hearts with faith as we see who we are and what you've done and what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to Luke chapter 4. Chapter 4, I want to begin in just to give you a little background and going into this chapter. Jesus now is 30 years old. He's getting ready to enter into his ministry. And it says in chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I want you to notice, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Who led him there? The Holy Spirit. 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And when they were entered, then he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, and you command that this stone be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I want you to notice that the devil, you know, tempts him. These were real temptations. If they weren't real temptations, then, you know, this is not true. These were things that he was tempted by. He was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. And the devil's saying, if you're the Son of God, prove it. He was questioning his worth, who he was as a person, if you're the Son of God. And that's what the devil does all the time. He always attacks you as a person to get you to question who you are, your worth, and your value. If you're really a child of God, if you're really a Christian, how come you're doing that? And why don't you do this? And if you're really so righteous, and if you really think God's going to answer your prayer, and all this stuff. That's what he always does. That's how he always attacks us. And notice, Jesus just answered him through the Word of God. And that he could have done that. He could have turned those stones into bread. But he said, it's written, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He's not living by bread. There's a greater bread. And that in these temptations are the three basic temptations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then the devil, taking him upon a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give unto you, and the glory of them. For it is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will, I can give it. They were the devils to give. He's called the God of this age in scriptures. That he deceived men and tricked them out. And when mankind sinned and fell, the devil took back temporarily the title deed of the earth. He kept it in his grips, and he ruled over man because of sin and because of death. And that they were his to give. And notice, he took him up, he showed them to him, and he showed him all the glory of the earth, the glory of these kingdoms. It was a temptation. The lust of the eyes. He said, I'll give them to you. He could have given them to him. He said, and if you'll just bow down to me, if you just bow down and worship me, then, you know, I'll give them all to you. And Jesus answered him and said, you get behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only will thou serve. Jesus knew, whoever you worship or whatever you worship, you'll serve. And you'll be it'll be your master. Whether it's your company, whether it's money, whether it's a personality, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever you put above God, whoever you place in that place, you're going to be in bondage and you're going to serve them, and God will not be able to rule your life. Do you hear what I just said? And then it says, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple at the eastern gate. He lifted him up there and the highest place. And he said to him, if you be the Son of God, prove it. Cast yourself down from there. As it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and then he'll keep you. And in their hands, they'll bear you up, lest any time they dash your foot against a stone. Just jump off. Make this great big super demonstration that everyone will see. Ooh, ah, ooh, ooh. He must be God. He jumped off and, man, he floated down and man, the angels caught him and, man, perfect landing. But it was not God's will that he do that. It was a shortcut for him to take the kingdoms. And that this was not the will of God. It was the pride of life to show himself, to do it out of God the Father's ways. And he's written, and Jesus said, and answering him said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. Now, if the devil messed with Jesus, knowing Jesus and his power and his strength and his power of prayer, do you really think that the devil is not going to mess with you? Somehow, you know, you're going to make it in your own strength. That we need the Lord, we need prayer, that we need to depend on God every day and yield and surrender and ask God's help. And it's through prayer that we're going to overcome the enemy. Resist the devil and what? He'll flee from you. How do you resist the devil? Through obedience, through prayer, through faith, through our dependence upon God. But here's what I want to see. And at Jesus' return, in the power of the Spirit in Galilee, and there he went out, a fame of him throughout all the region round about. So this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He'd been tested for 40 days. He'd proven himself true. And now, after the test, that he was going to begin his ministry that was going to last for 3 years. So this is the beginning of that. In verse 15, it says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as the custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. So Jesus, I got news for you. Jesus was a churchgoer. He was always in the synagogue. He was as a boy. He was as a man. He ministered there first. His heart was to the Jewish people to reach out with the truth. And it was the custom in the service that someone would read a scripture. And so in the middle of that service, he stood up to read the scripture that was given to him. And there was a book delivered into him, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, crushed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it back to the minister, and he sat down. And all the eyes that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They all watched him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Today is fulfilled. I want to read it to you from the book of Luke, from the book of Isaiah, and the way it reads in Isaiah. This is the scripture that Jesus read and was quoted. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings, good news unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There's more to it. And it says, and that the day of vengeance of our God, or dealing with injustice, and to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil for joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. And Isaiah said the same thing. I've always taken these scriptures to heart, believing this is exactly what God wants us to do as a fellowship and as a church. His people, anyone that's moving, walking with God, that's what God's called us to do. And it says in Isaiah as well, as we fast, as we pray, as we seek God, as we walk with him in righteousness, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. I told you this morning, I never saw this before. Of course I'm familiar with these passages. I've read it many times. The Lord put on my heart, and I just felt, you know, the Spirit was prompting me to share on these scriptures Sunday night, to share from this verse, share from the fourth chapter of Luke. And as I read it, and then I did more research, you know, it just, God gave me a revelation I just never had before. I just never saw it. Now, maybe to you, it's something you've known all the time. You say, well, of course, but not me. And it really has just changed the way I see this whole thing and what Jesus has done for us. I want us to see when the Lord said that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. I mean, I always just said, okay, it's the time he's coming. It's the time his ministry begins. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. But there was a whole lot more to it than that. And I want us to look back in the Old Testament of Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. God spoke to the Israelites and through their law. And then in the 23rd verse, it says, and the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption of the land. If your brother becomes poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any that's his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. If the man have no one to redeem it, and he himself is able to redeem it, he pays the money, then he can do it, and he can redeem it himself. If he doesn't have enough money, then he stays in bondage, and it says, but if he is not able to restore it unto him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee it'll go out, and then he'll return to his possession. And so that God said, this is your possession, and it's always going to be yours. And if you become poor and you have to sell off some of your land, then or you have to work in bondage for your brother, that a Jew can't keep another Jew in bondage as a slave, that they have a right to have someone redeem them. It's called a kinsman redeemer. Of course, that's a picture of our salvation. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. That he became a man so that he could redeem us, that he could pay the price that we couldn't pay, that he entered into the righteousness that we couldn't and became our representative before the throne of God. Who of Adam's seed has the right to stand before a holy God and to bait the case? Nobody. Nobody can stand before God from mankind except Jesus Christ, who became the righteous man, our kinsman redeemer. He qualified as a perfectly righteous man. He met the legal qualifications that he could redeem what we lost, pay the price, get back our lost possession, get back our lost salvation. Amen. We understand that, don't we, most of us? But this is what I didn't see. And that it says here that there will be years of Sabbath. You know, we have days of Sabbath. God does everything by sevens, you know. So you work 6 days, and then on the seventh day you rest. It's Sabbath. That Sabbath has never been given to anybody but Israel. And that then he had Sabbaths of months. There'd be periods of months of 7 months. And he had periods of Sabbaths that would be months as unto the Lord. And that there would be periods where there would be weeks, there'd be 6 weeks, and there'd be a Sabbath. And then there would be seven of those. And on the seventh, that would come to the 50, and there would be 49 days in total, or all these that put together these Sabbaths. I'm seeing years, I'm sorry, not days, but years. And that there would be a period of 6 years, and then there would be a year that was supposed to be a rest. And on the seventh day of the rest, they were not to do any work. They were to let the crops grow up in the field and to just let them grow, not do any work at all on that seventh year. It was a year of rest. And then would come 6 years, they would labor in the fields, and then they would store up for the seventh year and not work. And so that they would do those until they came to seven of those periods of time, which came to 49 years. The 50th year was called the year of Jubilee. And that they were at that time that God said, if you'll do this, then I will provide enough for you in that seventh month, not only that you can skip, or that seventh year, I'm sorry, in the sixth year, I'm confusing you, right? That I'll provide enough for you in the sixth year, there'll be plenty, that not only will you be able to have plenty in the seventh year, but also when you move into the year of Jubilee, it'll be 2 years in a row, and there'll still be plenty for you. I'll give you so much in the harvest that you'll have enough for that 50th year. And that you'll even have enough to go into the next year, which would be the eighth or the beginning of the new revolution. And during that, you'll have enough seed to plant and to start it again. And that would happen every 50 years. It was called the year of Jubilee. And this is what it said in the year of Jubilee. And it says, let's look in verse 8 of this 25th chapter. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years. And the space of seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement. And shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And listen. And you shall hallow the 50th year. It'll be holy. And proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants. Shall be Jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man into his possession. And you shall return every man into his family. So the year of Jubilee, all debt was canceled out. Everyone that was serving someone else to pay off a debt, it was just canceled out in the year of Jubilee. All debt was canceled out. And that then they were free. They were no longer a slave to that person to pay off this debt that they owed. And that they were anyone that took part of a portion of another brother's land. They were to restore it. And they were to give it all back every 50 years. Just start over again. Go back to your original inheritance and take it on the 50th year. Whew, do you understand? It was just a canceling out of all debt. It was God's grace just poured out. There was just forgiveness of the people when they messed up and to come into the inheritance and what God gave Israel as an eternal inheritance. Now, I just never saw this. But this is exactly what's taking place. Let's turn back now and look in the book of Luke. So this is what Jesus said. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found it in the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, those that are in debt, those that are in bondage. He has sent me to heal those that are brokenhearted, those that have been beaten down, those that have had loss, those that are poor of spirit, to preach deliverance to the captives, those that have become captives, those that are in bondage, and recovering of sight to the blind." This was one of the things that was written to look for the Messiah that had never heard of, someone that would heal the blind. And even John the Baptist said, "Is he coming?" He said, "You send word. You tell him who I am, and you tell him the signs. You tell him I'm the one." And he said, and they knew he was the one, because nobody healed the blind. And so Jesus came to heal the blind, to set at liberty those who were in bondage, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what the acceptable year of the Lord was? The Jubilee. That he said, "This is it. This is the Jubilee. It's being fulfilled. This day, it's being fulfilled before you. The Jubilee, not a temporary Jubilee, not just for 50 years. I mean it. We entered into a whole new covenant in Jubilee. All debt was forgiven, just wiped out. Everyone that was in bondage was set free from every kind of bondage. That Jesus came to destroy the devil and the works of the bondage, the bondage that the devil would bring into our lives, sorrow, heartache, all those things that bring us down, that keep us as slaves and keep us servants and keep us as captives. Jesus said, "I'm coming to set people free. They are going to be absolutely free indeed." Here is the truth. What is free? Free indeed. Who God sets free is what? Free indeed. This is the Jubilee. And then after that, then Jesus said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And then, as he began to speak, they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son? Who is this guy?" And they were really offended by him. And then as he spoke to them, you know, he was saying, you know, you won't receive what I've done. Because it says no prophet's accepted in his own country. You're not going to accept what I say. You're not going to accept the things that I do. And then he went on to say, listen, and this is what he told them. "But I tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and when famine went throughout the land. But he didn't go to any of the widows in Israel. He was sent into Sapta, a city of Zidon, and to a woman that was a widow." To a Gentile. What's he saying? You don't accept me. You never accepted any of the prophets. You know, and that's why he had to go to a Gentile, because you rejected him as a prophet. And then he said, "And many lepers were in Israel at the time Elijah, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman, who was the general of Syria, a Gentile. Because they rejected Elijah, they rejected Elijah, they couldn't do the works, and so they just went to the Gentiles." And they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. Jesus Christ had the audacity to stand up and say, "I'm the one, I'm fulfilling all these prophecies before you today." They knew who he was claiming to be. "I'm the one that's setting you free. I'm the one who's bringing in the Jubilee." And that they looked and they just didn't fit. The words that he's saying, it just doesn't line up. What, this is Joseph. This is Joseph's son. He's just the son of a carpenter. Who is this guy? They were offended at him. They wouldn't receive his words, and that's what he was saying. Then God's going to go to the Gentiles. He said, if you Jews can't receive it and know who I am, then I'm going to go to people who will receive it. And eventually, he did go to the Gentiles. The Jews rejected him and he was crucified. And today, here we are, because of the grace of God, as Gentiles, that this grace is coming to us. And so he left that place. It says, then the synagogue, they heard these things. They were filled with wrath. And they rose up to thrust him out of the city. They led him to the brow of a hill whereon the city was built, and that they might cast him down headlong. But he just passed through the midst of them on his way. And from there then he came down to Capernaum, the city in Galilee, which became his headquarters. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. I want us to understand tonight. You know, this morning we talked about how we came to the Lord Jesus Christ and we entered into a covenant with God. And when we entered into that covenant, we entered into everything that God is. We entered into all that He has. And here again is the Lord showing us that we entered into that jubilee and that there's no more debt. We've been set free from all bondage. We're not anymore subject to the devil at all, or to sin or to death or to live in fear or anything that would rob us of our liberty and our freedom. That is done once and for all. We have been set free, and to see ourselves as free. To see ourselves as free. And that not only has God set us free, and we see then He began to minister that freedom. Then it tells us that there was a man in the synagogue as He was there in Capernaum, and that He ministered to him and prayed for him, and that an unclean devil was cast out of him, and he was set free. And that Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold your peace and come out of him." And when that devil had thrown him into the midst of he came out of him and he heard him not. God was showing them, this is the fulfillment. I have set you at liberty. You are free. You're free from the powers of darkness. You don't have to obey him. No longer we have bondage over your life. And that they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "Man, look, what kind of a word is this? With such authority, with such power, he commanded unclean spirits and they came out." And the fame of him went every place, round about the country, everywhere. And then he rose and set out of the synagogue, and he entered into Simon's house, as Simon Peter, and Simon's wife's mother. It, by the way, the first pope had a wife. Did you get that? Simon Peter's mother. I mean, it's mother-in-law. Something, what do you think? I mean, you know, if you don't get a mother-in-law unless you got a wife. I just thought I'd throw that in. Simon Peter's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her immediately, and she rose and ministered unto them. She got up and ministered to them. God set her free and brought that healing. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sickness with different diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying and saying, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. I want us to see, the year of Jubilee is not coming again. I don't know, I haven't looked enough in the history, but I can tell you right now that the Jewish holidays lined up that when Jesus stood up that day in the temple and proclaimed it, that was the 50th year. And he fulfilled it. Now, what does that mean to you? I mean, think about it. You're free. You're not in bondage to anybody. You belong to God now. I don't care where you came from or what you've done or what your background was or how much trouble you were with the law. I don't, God sees you entirely different. You're clean. You got a clean slate. You belong to God. You stand in His righteousness. You are free, hallelujah, from the burden of sin. You are free from the penalty of sin. That you are free. You are free from temptations that would bring you and pull you down. You have a new spirit inside you. You have a new power. God has set you free. He brought you back to Himself. There's been a relationship established, and you have an inheritance in the Lord God Almighty, and all that the devil stole from you, hallelujah, is coming back. Hallelujah. But it's going to happen by faith. There was people that didn't receive it and got nothing because they didn't believe him. Matter of fact, they tried to kill him. We embrace him. We recognize when he said, "This day, this is fulfilled. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. The Jubilee is complete. That all of us are free from bondage. I'm no slave to sin anymore. I'm a son of God. I've been set free. I have an eternal inheritance in God. I've been blessed. I've been lifted up. Hallelujah." And the Lord wants you to see the promises that are yours. It's just one more way that He's showing us. It's all yours. There's anything that's been held back. Nothing. It's all been given. Jesus redeemed us as our kinsman redeemer. He redeemed us and has given us more than Adam ever thought about having. Man, as he's lifted us up to the very throne of God, that we're seated in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for you to think that you're not worthy, do you to think that God doesn't love you, for you to think God doesn't hear you when you pray, man, you better quit listening to the devil and listen what God is saying. I'm not worthy. I can tell you right now, I am not worthy. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be on my way to heaven and I wouldn't be getting blessed of God. But Jesus has made me worthy through his blood and presented me blameless before the Father. Now I'm free. And man, believe me, I was a slave. Bondage and darkness. I was in such bondage, I didn't even know I was in bondage. It's just the way I thought it was. Didn't know any different. Just thought that's the way slaves live. That's the way. I didn't see myself as a slave. Man, people try to tell me about God and about the devil, and I'd say, oh, come on, man, you don't really believe in a devil, do you? Man, I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I can't believe that you would believe that stuff about the devil. Who is deceiving you, man? Why can you believe that stuff? Yeah, right. I didn't know where I was going. I about ran into that. I couldn't see anything. Completely blind. Not anymore. Like I said this morning, I know where I've come from. I know God's given everything to my hands. I know where I'm going. We stand in his victory. We stand in his glory. As we walk in the will of God, nothing impossible. Nothing. Tell back nothing to you. Hallelujah. And that the Lord Jesus has given us authority now. Amen. The same authority, same power. The good news of salvation, he said, to those that were bankrupt sinners, he came to redeem those that were captive, those of us who were in bondage, to heal our broken hearts, to give us hope again, to deliver us from the powers of darkness, from demons, from disease. That's what Jesus did. To give sight to us. We were so blind, now we can see. And that Jesus not only has set us free, but he wants us to rise up in that same spirit. For we are the body of Christ on earth. That his spirit's in us. He said, the same works that I did, you will do. And that the spirit of God's in us. And it's time for, instead of seeing ourselves as so needy, oh, I need. I want you to see every need is met. And start receiving those things. Hallelujah, God, you've provided that already. I don't have to beg you for that. You've already given it to me by faith. Lord, I receive it. I thank you, oh God. I proclaim it. I speak it forth. I thank you for increase. I thank you for that job. I thank you for your will. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you you're going to meet that need. I thank you, God, as you direct me. You're going to show me what to do. I'm not going to be confused. I'm not going to be lonely. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be confused. Lord, that you've given me all those things, and I'm going to walk as a victor. I'm going to walk, hallelujah, as an overcomer, and start seeing yourself as an overcomer instead of a loser. Somebody say amen. Amen. Greater is he that ministers than he is being ministered to. God wants to raise us up as ministers, not come in all the time. Oh, God wants to meet our needs. Yes. But it's this poverty mentality. I need. How about saying, I have. Yeah, God wants to minister to you. And tonight we're going to pray for people in this place. And I just felt even tonight, I don't know what's going to happen. Man, I know when we really stand with the authority that God's given us and are expecting God to do some awesome things. You might hear some shrieks in this place tonight. Don't tell me demons aren't real. God can deliver people that have been demon-possessed or people that have been in bondage to the devil or been oppressed by the enemy. So, you know, man, Jesus got into it. He wasn't afraid to get dirty, man. He dug right in the middle of it. He touched the lepers. He just wasn't polite to people, you know. I want us to have an expectancy, but I want you to know why the Lord's setting you free. That out of your freedom, you can minister to other people. Some people, they just go from church to church to church, never satisfied. Well, the church, it just wasn't meeting my need. What a self-centered attitude. My needs, my needs, my needs, my needs. How about you say, you know, wonder where I can meet somebody's need. How I can be used. I found out when I start thinking about ministering to other people, that's when God ends up meeting my needs. I find more joy in giving and doing something for others. You know, God just does it. Any good thing you do to man, God says, I'll do it to you. So the Lord's given us authority. God wants us to build up old waste places. God wants us to close the breach where the enemies got in. I talked to membership class tonight. So one of the reasons that God's called us to join a local church is God's called us to be a witness. God's called us to be a standard in a local area. And God's called us to enter into the battle. God's called us to be prayer warriors. God's called us. God wants us to be a witness in this community. And when the church is, any church is really functioning in the Spirit of God, in righteousness and faith, we are going to have a great influence on an area. And it causes things to happen in the heavenlies to bring about God's plan and God's morality. It causes the powers of darkness to be pushed back, that they can't do just anything that they want. When the church really makes a stand and begins to pray and begins to enter in and becomes that witness wherever we are, that we are that light. We're a light. It happens one on one on one on one on one. Listen, we're the greatest force of righteousness on the face of this earth, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to quit retreating all the time and start moving forward, and let's have an offensive on the devil. You're a warrior. Hallelujah. You're an overcomer. You're free. You were in bondage, but now you're free. You've been set free. You've been set free from the pangs of the devil and the grip that he had on your life. He no longer has any claim on you. He's under your feet. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. God's given us a commission. Jesus spoke and said unto them, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Now you go in it now, and you teach all nations, and you baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you teach them to observe all the things, everything I've commanded you, and I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. I'll be with you as you go. God's given us his own authority. I have Christ's authority. You have Christ's authority. Say, so you're the pastor. Listen, you are a child of God. You are a son. You're a daughter. God's given you the same authority that Jesus Christ has. There's no difference between the authority of Jesus and the authority he's given you if you'll just use it and take it and have faith and stand in it. Now, that doesn't mean you can walk in unrighteousness and stand up and think you're going to move the devil. He's going to laugh at you. When you walk with God in righteousness and you stand in faith and obedience, you resist the devil and he's going to flee from you. He's got to. And he'll try to argue with you and tell you you didn't have to go and everything else. He's going. You stand your ground. God's word is true. I'm telling you, you're talking to the devil now. God's word is true. You're a liar. And you are defeated. And you're giving it back. And you're not taking it anymore. And you claim it. And you stand. God's given you authority. He's redeemed us. The year of Jubilee has been fulfilled. We're free men and women in the kingdom of God with authority, sons and daughters. We've been given position. We've been given God's power. I want to read one more verse and because it's so clear here in the book of Mark, in Mark 16, where he said, now you go in all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Get hold of it. If you believe, you'll be saved. If you don't believe, people are going to be damned. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. You want to argue with me? You're talking to the wrong person. You argue with him. Oh, God wouldn't send anyone to hell. God would send no one to hell, but people go themselves. God gave them a golden bridge to come over into heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, and they don't want to go there. By their own choice, they turn from God. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those that believe. How many of you believe? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and they'll drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. The sick shall recover. That doesn't mean you're tempting God and picking up rattlesnakes and drinking poison. That's not what that's talking about. What it's talking about is God is going to protect you with the things that you eat and drink. He's going to bring protection to your life. We tried having rattlesnake services years ago, but we just couldn't keep elders. They either quit or died, you know. That's foolishness. That stuff is foolishness. Can't believe how people would get that out of a scripture and think, you know, they have to prove their faith and handle stakes and drink poison. They had a lot of faith, but they were pretty stupid. They didn't have a lot of knowledge and wisdom. But the Lord's promised us, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. How many of you know it's true? How many of you speak with new tongues? To speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it's not heard, that God's going to protect you. They lay hands on the sick, they're going to be healed. They're going to recover. And so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into the heavens, sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. That's what's going to happen tonight. God's going to confirm his word with signs following. I don't know what you're looking for tonight, but I know God's going to minister to you. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. The first thing I want to do is that if there's anyone here and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come in your life, he's so real. I was so blind. God got my attention. Thank God for his grace. He literally arrested me through his grace. When I asked the Lord into my life, everything changed. I had spiritual insight I never had. I knew his presence. I knew his love, his forgiveness. I knew joy. I had such a hope. I knew God had a purpose and plan for my life. I was so excited to be alive. I knew God was going to unfold this glorious purpose for my life. I knew it. And he did, and he still is. This is relationship. It's a real thing. It's not just a go to church thing and be holy and try to be good. You're going to meet him. You're going to experience him. He's going to come into your life. He's going to change your heart. He's going to change your desires. He's going to give you a desire to walk with him and to please him. He gives us a new nature, a nature that wants to please him, a nature that has strength, that we're really free from those things that held us in bondage. Man, all drugs, cigarettes in my life, and alcohol, and just the living that I did. Just, you know, just that lifestyle back in my hippie days. Free. Free. He changed my desire. I said, aren't you tempted? No way. I don't even think about it. I don't even think about going there. You don't understand. I don't have appetite for that anymore. Just the same way I don't have appetites for Gerber baby food anymore. Got a different appetite. I like steaks now. It changes your spiritual appetite when the Spirit of God comes in you. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus into your life, you're going to find out it's real. He stands at the door of your heart and he knocks and he says, if you just hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. It may not be a loud voice. It's that, just that small, still voice, that tugging at something inside saying, you need me. You know it's true. Trust me. You're not doing that great. You need me in your life. If you ask me to come in, I'm going to take your life. I'm going to take all those broken pieces and put them together. I'm going to take all those pieces of the puzzle that looks like it would never go together. I know just how to put it all together. I love putting together broken lives. If that's you tonight, I don't want you to lift your hand. You say, Pastor John, that's me. I want you to pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I just want you to lift your hand. When you see your hand, you can put it down. But you say, I need the Lord. I've never done that. I've never trusted Jesus alone for my salvation to receive salvation as a gift. Is there anyone tonight? You lift your hand. Listen, I know in my spirit you're here. I know it. You don't have the assurance if you died, you go to heaven. And if you do, you think you're going to get there because you're pretty good. The Bible says there's nobody good. There's not one person righteous. You're going to be for a big surprise when you get to heaven. You say, why should I let you in? You say, well, I've tried to live a good life. God says there's nobody good. Nobody lived a good life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I can't let you in. You don't qualify. What do you have to get in? You got to have 100% on the exam. Not one sin on your record. Well, that's impossible. That's what I'm saying. You better start looking for another door. Jesus is that door. And when I said, Lord, forgive me, I receive you. He presented me blameless to the Father if I've never sinned at all. It was a gift. When he died on the cross, he paid for all my sins and presented me blameless. I know I have eternal life. It says, whoever is Christ has life. These things are written that you may know you have eternal life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. Either you have him or you don't. It's not a question of believing. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they've never had a relationship with Jesus. It's all different. When you ask him to come in, he's going to come in. You open that door, he's going to come in. He says, and we'll fellowship together. To those who received him, give him power to become sons of God. I'm going to ask one more time. I want you to be honest. You can leave this place tonight having all assurance of God's love for you and eternal life. But you have to receive it. Oh, he paid for it. It's yours. It belongs to you. But it won't be yours until you receive it. And I want you to just lift your hand. You say, Pastor John, pray for me. When I see your hand, you can put it down. Just look at me when you raise your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Who else tonight? Just look.